Both chambers of Congress will be at work this week, ending a long hiatus. But it's unlikely to be a heavy legislative week. There's a big speech from the president tonight, and both parties have scheduled retreats. Joining me with a preview, Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins. All right, David, so the State of the Union speech is something you're pretty well versed in. In fact, the video at cqrollcall.com in which you are doing a whiteboard as you talk about it, pretty interesting.
Oh, but well, thank you.
We can't show the whiteboard on the radio. We'll have a link to it, but give us your preview of what's going to happen tonight.
Well, the preview is, it is the president's final State of the Union address. Presidents normally don't give State of the Union speeches on their, in the week before they leave office. So this is it for the president, probably the last time he will ever be speaking to a joint session of Congress. The White House is promising that it is going to be, they say, a non-traditional speech, that it's going to be less of the sort of traditional laundry list of legislative proposals, which probably makes sense from the White House's point of view, because the Republican Congress has made pretty clear that they would ignore such proposals, not only because they're from Obama to begin with, but because they're from a president of the opposing party in his final year, and they're more interested in the election. So instead, the president, we are told by the White House, is going to speak sort of thematically. It's not going to be so much a farewell address as what they say is sort of describing his view in broad strokes of what the country's big challenges are and what his view of government is. I mean, obviously teeing up the political season ahead, but not teeing up any kind of point-by-point congressional agenda or even a preview of the sort of minimal legislative agenda ahead.
Because in reading your coverage, and actually other publications' coverage too, for that matter, they're not even on the same wavelength, Republicans and Democrats. What the president is talking about, we know from last week's moves that the gun control and so forth is important. Mitch McConnell is going around saying, what about ISIS and what's the plan for security and world order and security at home? Clearly, the president doesn't discount those things, but they don't seem to be the top of his particular mind.
Well, they don't seem to be. That was interesting what Senator McConnell said, because that sort of walks into what is one of the more heated debates of the moment, which is whether Congress should try and weigh in on the fight against ISIS by authorizing the use of force. It was Senator McConnell himself who said right at the end of last year, actually in an interview we did with him at Roll Call, that you're not going to see Congress act to authorize the use of military force against ISIS before the president leaves office. And that sort of hung out there and left a little bit of a bad odor for the Republicans. And so now Speaker Paul Ryan says maybe they will, at least on the House side, debate something. Why don't they? Many people say, well, why don't they take a vote on whether to authorize what the president should do? And the answer is there is no clear consensus in Congress as to what Congress should do, what level of force should be used to try and repel or squash ISIS. And Republicans and Democrats alike, to be crass about it, don't want to have a vote that they might later regret on starting another war hanging over them as they go into the election season. So it was interesting that McConnell said that, because he seemed to have been the one ruling it out as a topic for the congressional presidential debate this year.
And later in the week, both parties are having retreats. Let's start with the Republican retreat, which will take place in Baltimore, their legislative retreat. And one of the items on that agenda from Paul Ryan, the House Speaker, is a new approach to the so-called war on poverty. That's my word, not his word. But changing the poverty approach of the federal government would affect a lot of agencies. Do we know what he's talking about yet?
We don't in the specifics this year. We do know what he said in the past. This is not the first time that Paul Ryan has tried to take up the topic of poverty. Last year it was, he had some ideas about addressing income inequality, which is another way of sort of looking at poverty, which is the difference between the richest 1% and the poorest 20% is wider than it's been since before the Depression, since the Roaring Twenties. What you can bet your bottom dollar on is that Paul Ryan will not be proposing any new spending or new additional money or new government programs. What he's talked about in the past is a way to use the tax code to try and spur job creation and also give more relief to the working poor. And essentially, he views using tax incentives and tax breaks for both employers and people as a way to combat poverty, and also maybe some way of giving the states some relief so that they can help fight the war on poverty. But this will not be, yes, you said the war on poverty, which conjures up images of Lyndon Johnson from half a century ago and the Great Society, a huge expansion of the federal government. That is not Paul Ryan's view.
We're speaking with CQ Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins. And so, as we mentioned, the Democrats will also be having a retreat. And theirs is taking place at Nationals Park. I think it's only senators. And they have some pretty big conference rooms at Nationals Park, so there'll be a place for all 100 could meet there.
Harry Reid, the Senate Democratic leader for the next year before his retirement, is a huge Nationals fan, so this sort of makes intuitive sense if you think about it from Harry Reid's point of view. He loves anything he can do to get closer to the Nationals dugout, he's all for.
All right, so what will they be talking about?
Well, I think they will be talking about just how resistant and when to be resistant to the Republicans. Obviously, it is not up to Harry Reid and the Democrats to propose much. I mean, they can propose things, but they cannot lead the discussion. They can only hope to shape the discussion. So presumably, their agenda setting will be essentially, when do we pick fights with the Republicans? When do we sit down? What do we fight about? How many different fights do we pick? Among them, they will be, I think, they will be talking about something that's of interest to, I think, some of the people listening now, which is they feel like they have a little bit of a political winner in the whole nomination fight, believe it or not. They feel like they can say to the Republicans and say to the public, the Republicans are shirking their responsibility to fill these important government jobs in the executive branch, also in the federal judiciary, that it's the kind of shallow partisanship that goes counter to an effective functioning of the government. We, the Democrats, think that the president should be allowed to fill all these more than 100 senior executive jobs and a couple of dozen judgeships. So that's just one.
So this will be one of those years of limbo, really, it seems like, because nobody wants to initiate huge legislative agenda items, because if the Republicans do it, the president will veto it. If the Democrats propose it, the Republicans will stand in the way of it.
That's exactly right. It'll be mostly about messaging. I mean, that is the traditional in any presidential election year, but especially in a year when the presidency is essentially an open seat, as we say in politics, in other words, no incumbent running, Congress will be sort of a petri dish for messaging bills, both sides trying to test market themes that they hope their presidential candidate will be helped by and that their own congressional candidates will be helped by. Of course, we should remind people here that while the House is not up for grabs, it's almost a guarantee that the Republicans will keep controlling the House after this fall's election. The Senate is very much in play. There's only 5 seats. The Democrats, if they pick up 5 seats, they would be guaranteed to take back the Senate, and they, if you look at them race by race, they have a serious shot at doing that.
CQ Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins, also check out his whiteboard video. By the way, was that really you drawing those things?
It really was.
Wow. Well, I have to compliment you. I really liked your...
I don't draw that fast. They're able to use a sort of tricky bit of, you know, they sort of, they take every 9th frame and then they sort of, it looks like I'm drawing it super fast. But, but it is me drawing. It's just not quite as, I'm not a speedy demon on it.
Well, I would recommend people take a look at the caricature of Paul Ryan with the beard and the 2-dot eyes.
Although when I drew that, he still had the beard, and of course, since then he shaved it off.
Oh, too bad. We'll have a link at federalnewsradio.com.